Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Rotatoes, it's Friday. We are into May, everyone. How did we get here? I feel like this year is passing by so quickly. And I hope that it's been a prosperous one for you. The world is scary out there. But I do know that I'm fortunate enough to be surrounded by wonderful people like our incredible Rotating Heroes community. And I want to say thank you so much to all of you for being here, for listening. I hope that this show does for you what it does for me, which is just occasionally bring me that little bit of reprieve and joy. And that is honestly the main reason that we do it, because we love doing it. And you are a huge part of us being able to do so. So I will make this a brief one and get you back into episode 4. But I wanted to let you know that we are fast approaching the Force of Extinction backer kit. It would be absolutely incredible to see some of you rotators over there. This is a brand new game that was developed by myself. It was an idea that I had many moons ago whilst listening to a Muse album, of all things. We started making this about 2.5, nearly 3 years ago. It has been playtested like crazy. I have the incredible Edward Spence working on it, who, if you've been listening to the show, you'll know very, very well. He is an incredible writer and game designer and performer and GM. And, of course, Chad Pytel, who is the co-founder of 12 Sider Studios. And it has been an absolute joy to work on it. It's been an incredible experience. We have learned so much, and I think we've made a really, really epic game that you can learn and start playing in under 30 minutes. So it's kind of perfect for a game night with your friends. You know, bring them over, teach them a new game. You can get through a really satisfying story in a really short amount of time. So please, 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 if you have a second, go over and follow it on the backer kit. And if you choose to make I think it's like $2 or £2, if you then do end up backing the project, you will also then receive a one-off special D20, which is really, really cool and very fun. So please go check that out if you can. It would mean the world to me. But speaking of the world and potentially earth-shattering consequences, let's go ahead and get into this part 2 of episode 4. As you say, let's do this, let's save our friends. I'm going to ask Josephine and Johnny to take off their headphones. Brian 2, you are scuttling through the vents. You have found yourself in this strange version of the Silverhawk. The layout is completely different to the one that you remember. And you're currently dealing with the apparent loss of your friends. You didn't see them die yourself, but having incorporated Brian 1's memory chip into yours, you now have that memory, though it is tinged with Brian 1's feelings about it, which I think probably doesn't sit well with Brian 2. So, the first question I have is, where did Brian 2 stuff Brian 1?
Honestly, probably not too far from where he appeared. A closet, probably a room or so away from where the tree is. He didn't have much time to spring his trap.
We will say that Brian 1 is currently stuffed inside of Hubert's quarters, underneath the desk. Where is Brian 2 heading now, and what is Brian 2's intentions?
I think at this stage, Brian 2 skittering through the vents with this clickety-clack of these mantis-like appendages that have sprung from out of his torso, is trying to find the other individual responsible for his friend's deaths. And that is this world's version of Ember.
Okay, can you please go ahead and roll me an investigation check?
That's a 12.
Actually, go ahead and roll me a stealth check at the same time.
With an advantage, that'll be 21.
So, Brian 2, you skitter through these vents, and you do happen to come across a rather interesting sight. It is the sight of Sprocket and Ember sharing a warm embrace, seemingly at peace and happy to have each other. A sort of cruel scene for you to see, having so recently lost your Sprocket and your Ember. What would Brian 2 like to do?
I think, looking at this, and the lined light of the vents just illuminating his rusty face, Brian just reaches down to his waist and just begins to prise his waist from off his torso, just pushing and pushing as wires just begin to stretch and break as his legs just come off. And he just bangs on the vent and bangs and bangs as those extra arms just begin to disappear into his torso, as he just bangs and bangs and bangs until eventually he just falls through and down onto the corrugated floor below.
Don't trust that one! Ember, it's the other one!
When, Ember, you remember very briefly hearing the sound of someone banging, as if someone was, like, knocking on a door. That was when you were trying to listen into the conversation that was happening outside.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very similar banging sound, and it's coming from somewhere just in the next room, and you hear a crashing thud.
Do you hear that?
You see half of Brian on the ground, and Brian reaches up and says, pointing towards Sprocket,
"How many arms does this Brian have?
And is his little designation seared off from that acid? Right? Because didn't the original one have that in our fight?"
Roll me a perception check.
Okay. Because I'm assuming she noticed that, but...
Sprocket, for what it's worth, is going to put all three arms in the air.
19.
Ed, what do they see?
I think this Brian would, seeing Ember's eyes just begin to just drift down towards his chest, just moves his dungarees just to one side, but not quite quickly enough, as you would see the designation 8R-1AN.
What are we doing, gang?
I try to very smoothly, I'm going to turn to Sprocket. I'm going to act as if I'm turning towards Sprocket to like grapple him.
Okay, give me a performance check.
But I'll whisper into Sprocket's ear as I go. Performance, let's see. Okay. Fuck these dice!
These dice, what are they doing?
It's a 6 on performance, because what I do is I'm like, Sprocket, play along with this.
Yeah, Brian, you can clearly see that Ember's not bought this at all.
That ain't him. And I want to grab Sprocket and run towards Brian.
Okay, Brian, what are you doing?
If Sprocket allows, it goes with it.
Yeah.
So you're saying you reverse the scoop?
Yeah, I reverse the scoop here.
You reverse the scoop, okay.
I think immediately knowing that the gig is up, and just you. It's hard to see panic in bulbs, but nevertheless, this is what you see as Brian, immediately realizing that he's removed his legs from himself, just picking himself on his gangly arms, just begins to just teeter back a little bit. And as you're charging towards him, I think he is going to stumble a bit, and seeing you get near Ember,
you know, you robbed her of a happy ending. You robbed my Ember. You understand that? You broke off love, like actual love. I'm gonna do the same. You think you and your Tundra ever gonna... No, I'm gonna cut that shit short. You understand? I'm gonna cut it short.
What are you saying?
Melf's Acid Arrow.
Okay, everyone, go ahead and roll me initiative.
Okay. Oh, I really hope I roll high.
Baby.
Oh, no, fuck you.
22.
19.
16.
I'm just going to say, basically, first round, Ember and Sprocket can't do anything. So it's a free round for Brian, and then we'll go into initiative. So, Brian, Acid Arrow.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll.
That'll be an 18 to hit.
And are you aiming at Ember or Sprocket?
Oh, Brian, too, is very much aiming at Ember.
18 meets my armor class.
Meets it, beats it.
So that is 11 acid damage, as once again, just whipping up a hand just from out of the tips of these fingers, there is just these four very distinct just squirts of this green sort of acidic liquid that just lands on you and immediately just begins to melt on contact.
Great. It goes in and but it's like, as your words, you know, with what Brian too just said too, like, I think Ember really is totally caught off guard. She's like, what?
And Brian, do you have any bonus actions or movement that you would like to do?
Brian too is going to cast Healing Word on himself. I am going to do that real quick. So that would be 10. As you just see those additional arms once more just like break out of his torso and literally begin to like patch himself back together, just rivets and screws.
Okay. Sprocket, what are we doing?
Well, now you've done it, I'm going to activate Innate Sorcery.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which should give me advantage, right? On the firebolt I'm going to throw at Brian.
Yes.
So this is a +7 to hit with advantage. That's a nat 20.
Oh! More like Brian Zero. Let's go.
Now let's roll 2d10 damage. That is 10, but doubled is 20.
Okay. Brian 2, how are we looking?
Would you like to describe what happens to Brian 2?
That was so fast.
Brian 2 sustained a lot of damage when he decided to rip off his own legs, guys.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, he's from another dimension, but he's still not that smart.
He's still Brian.
So good.
It's kind of, it's almost like execution style. Basically, like Sprocket just kind of, like Sprocket kind of like flinches as if he wanted to get in between the acid arrow and Ember, and then like wasn't fast enough, and then just kind of, it's almost like his shoulders, which because he's a Minotaur are always like really high up, like there's not much distinction between his neck and his shoulders, but they just kind of like slump down, and he almost goes kind of limp, and he just dispassionately just walks over to Brian, so that when he holds his hand out and casts fireball out of it, firebolts, excuse me. Firebolt. I could have made it a careful spell.
Oh, imagine.
Firebolt. It's like he's barely, his arm is at like 12 degrees.
Yeah.
He just like clump. You know when you get like a hole in metal and it's just got like a glowing seam around it?
Yeah.
From where he just like through and through on Brian 2's head.
Sprocket, what? But what was he saying?
Look, he's just trying to get in your head, all right? We write our own endings here. He can't hurt us anymore. And listen, it's going to take more than a robot willing to pull off his own legs to get between you and Tundra. I mean, it's Ember and Tundra, for fuck's sake. Even I've heard about Ember and Tundra.
Yeah, but I'm so, I thought, hold on. No, this, I thought they were just, you know, like maybe some sort of apparitions or doppelgangers or...
No, they ain't. But that's a good thing. I know it don't feel like it right now, but it means if it's real, you can influence it. It sounds like you've already done a whole lot. You've pulled pretty much everything out of the bag, but I know you've got more to give. Come on.
Yeah, but Sprock, what if I just killed... I gotta tell you something. I don't belong here.
What do you mean?
This isn't where I'm from.
Sprocket takes like half a step back.
No. I mean, I'm exactly who you've met. It's still me. Just when you met me, I don't know how I got here.
Okay.
But just like it sounds like they didn't know how they I mm-hmm. thought I didn't know. They're just,
yeah.
They're just like me.
Well, look, that ain't your fault. And it weren't their fault. And all you can do in a situation like that is your best and what's true to you. And once the dust settled, we can work out who deserves to be sorry, who acted properly, who didn't. But listen, for as long as I've known you, you've been a good person. You've been loving, you've been caring, you've been driven. And I don't care where you came from. As far as I'm concerned, you belong to be here with us. And that includes Brian.
We gotta find Brian.
We gotta find Brian. Just need you to keep it together for a little bit longer, all right?
I got this. Thanks, yeah. Brock.
And if you're really good, I'll tell you something that'll really make you laugh, all right?
So you're gonna go searching for Brian?
Yep.
Yes, please.
Okay, where would you like to look?
Did he give you any sort of clue?
So he said he stuffed him in a cupboard.
Well, shit, let's open every damn cupboard we can come across.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be such a trip hazard. Let's do it.
Let's start opening up. Let's go.
The world as you know it has ended. Welcome to the Evopocalypse. No one knows what caused this catastrophic ecological disaster, but in its wake, humanity is on the brink of extinction, and planet Earth has never been more alive. You and your fellow players are survivors, venturing out from desperate settlements with limited tools and dwindling resources. You must survive highly evolved predators and warped colossal creatures, with no memory of the animals they once were. But there is still hope. Together, you will explore the world you once knew, using your finely honed survival skills and repurposed weapons, not to mention mysterious and unpredictable resurrection technology. Hunt down the source of this disaster, even as it hunts you back. Force of Extinction is a brand new TTRPG that makes you feel like the post-apocalyptic hero of your dreams. Or nightmares. Be the first to face off against the Evopocalypse when the game launches this June on Backerkit. Go to forceofextinction.com to sign up today so you don't miss out.
Do you want to go further down below deck? Do you want to go onto the upper deck? Where roughly on the ship would you like to head?
Where the easiest access to cupboards from the deck?
Ah, now there's a question. Roll me history, both of you.
Five.
Eight.
Ed, we'll get, if you want to jump on again next week, we'll get to you. Well, it's fine, don't worry.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah, no, I need to go to the loo anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
In the old times, Ember, the cupboards were up the mast.
How about this? I'm not trying to intelligent this. I'm trying to get into Brian 2's head, right? Like, I want to be, if I had appeared, what would I do? Kind of like trying to do more intuition of just like, where's the
insight?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to angle for here.
Go give me insight.
Like, where would I go if I were Brian? 19.
Ooh.
So you'll remember that on the deck of the ship, there is stairs leading down. There is also a few quarters just off to the other side. And one or two of those quarters, one of them you've been in before. When you come aboard the ship, you have to do a little interview with Hubert. Hubert's office is so small, some might consider it a cupboard.
All right, okay. I think we need to go back up where we think we would have reappeared, you know, where other Brian, would have come in and the easiest place to get to. Let's go up on deck.
Okay. Now, I hate to ask this question, but you do have, because you've gone into this room where you dealt with Brian 2, two doors in between you and the deck of the ship.
Uh-oh.
We'll do one each. Just a d20 roll. Let me know how you got.
17.
5.
Can I get a d100 roll, please, from you, Sprocket?
12.
So our imaginary counter ticks up. As you walk through the ship, you can see the fabric of the ship seems to, the integrity of the ship seems to now be struggling under the intensity of whatever this strange anomaly is that is enveloping it. If you remember, it wasn't just the people on board that were having these dreams, it was the ship itself. So you'll see out of a window, say there's three windows next to each other, you'll see that in the middle window, an entirely different scene seems to be playing out through that middle window. And you know, having felt it firsthand, the repercussions of these dreams are extremely serious. And as you enter through that second door to go up towards the deck, the whole ship seems to turn on its side as something crashes into the side of the ship. And the part, so you turn up to your side, and as you look up now at what was just the right-hand side of the ship, there is a huge gash that has appeared as something seems to have attacked the outside of the ship.
Oh, hell!
Do you continue up onto the deck?
The deck's where the tree is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep going.
You step onto the deck of the ship, and you see a very strange scene. One that you might have missed if your eyeline was too high. For as you look down, you can see something of a Mexican standoff. As there, seemingly staring each other down, not wanting to make the first move, is two sets of legs.
Oh, come on.
Both slowly sort of twitching, belying a need or want to move as they are either ends of the deck of this ship. Now, until as you appear, seemingly the instigating moment, the two sets of legs run towards each other and engage in furious and mighty kicking combat. I'm just going to do some rolls. In fact, actually, we're just going to do a best of three scenario roll-off to see whose sets of legs wins. I'll be representing Brian 2's legs, and you'll be representing Brian 1's legs.
Brian 1, 16.
Brian 2, 13. Round 1 goes to Brian 1. As you see, at first, you really struggled to differentiate between the two sets of legs. However, something curious happens. As one set of legs does a furious low kick on the other, right into the shin of the other one, and you imagine that Brian 2 were he whole, would be doing that hopping motion where they're holding onto their shin and going ow, ow, ow. But obviously there's no arms or head to make said noises or to do said motions. But you see that left behind on that shin, there appears to be some tiny golden cracks starting to appear. And we move into round two.
15.
That's a 6 for Brian 2. Brian 1, how do your legs finish this?
I mean, it's an oldie but a goodie. He kicks him in the nuts.
Absolutely incredible.
And just two round circles, just like boop, ding, 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 off to one side.
Yeah, two little ball bearings just drop out and roll off across the ship.
What?
Stainless steel and unrusted.
Was Brian wearing trousers? I never imagined.
He usually wears dungarees.
Oh, you're right.
He wears dungarees, but they would have gone with his top half. So we'll say that the bottoms were bare at this point. However, it is at this moment, Ember, that you see something rather strange happens. As these legs are kicked very, very firmly betwixt themselves. I don't know how to. This is an insane situation I'm trying to describe in our mind's eye. You watch as this set of legs crumples to the ground and collapses forward, covered now in these golden cracks. You see that the golden cracks now start to glow a little bit more intensely as you watch as that same motion repeats itself, but in reverse. As these two legs stand back up, two little ball bearings roll back across the ship and go back up to wherever they were kept beforehand. And this pair of legs is now stood there again. The legs now scutter off and down into the hull of the ship.
Backwards?
No, they revert to going sort of in a normal trajectory.
Okay.
But it seems something happened with that golden... with those golden cracks that seem to seemingly reverse the last few seconds of what happened.
Oh, we just got to get Brian's legs and get them to him. I'm going to go try and grab the regular legs that are still up here.
I think there's a moment where Brian's legs go to sort of kick you, assuming that you're some sort of, you know, bad, you know, maybe the other legs or Brian too. But there's no mistaking Ember's warmth and kindness, and so Brian 1's legs soften, and
it's me, buddy. You want, here, get on my shoulders.
You sort of just drape some legs over your around your neck. Yeah.
Yeah, like piggybacking, or yeah.
Wonderful. It's droid noises is so funny.
Sprocket, what do you want to do? I gotta find Brian.
I'll get to that tree.
Okay. All right, be careful, please.
Yeah, don't worry.
Ember makes for the doors like that are more accessible. Yeah, where like Hubert's office and stuff.
Okay. Ember, as you open the door to Hubert's office, will you please roll me a D100, please? And Brian, will you roll me a D100 as well?
Oh, yes.
46.
96.
Ooh.
United in 6.
Ed, can you please name me an environment?
Is Hubert's office out of the question? Or?
Yep. An environment, please.
Jungle.
Lovely. Sprocket.
Mm-hmm.
You look over and see, as you start to climb this tree, Ember opens the door, and you probably hear the sound and sights and smells of a jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Before you then see Ember falling into the room, the door remaining open, and an endless expanse of jungle in front of her.
Oh, come on.
What would you like to do? You are quite close to the knot.
Yeah, sorting out the tree feels like the most expedient way to get this sorted.
Okay.
So I want to clamber up to the knot.
Yep.
And I want to hook sort of an arm around a branch. So I'm sort of hanging back a little bit. You know how like climbers will like hang back to rest.
Yep, yep, yep.
And I want to have a word with the tree.
Okay.
I want to say, look, I believe the first time we met, I told you to talk to me and tell me what was wrong. And let's just say, if you'd spoken up about this sooner, we'd have gone through a lot less trouble. So I want you to play ball with me right now, all right? We're going to get this embryo out of you, and you're going to go back to having normal tree dreams. Do we have a deal?
Can you go ahead and make me an Arcana check with advantage, please?
Yep, sure thing. Dirty 22.
In my defense, the last time that we spoke, I didn't have some sort of living metal somewhere inside of me, which was...
And you see that the tree has formed a mouth.
I have this living metal inside of me. A lot of this went really off the rails with that. That silly little robot, that smelly little guy that you brought onto the ship.
All right, yeah, I know. Look, he's in acquired taste, but...
You're telling me he's... I'm riddled with him now.
I know, and we're going to get that sorted, aren't
okay,
we?
Okay, yes.
Okie dokie, can you give me a hand?
I would love to, but the problem is... I could probably try and expel some of this stuff, but there's still some more of it in these strange little dimensions which I can't seem to put my finger on.
Right, okay. That's all right. I'll tell you what. I'm here now, so we may as well take some of the pressure off. You gob up some of it, and I'll go mop up the rest, all right?
Okay.
We've already got someone on it.
Okay, but I think there's at least... I can see there's one over there... over there, I just saw your friend disappear into it.
That's right.
Okay, there's one. There's in there, yep. And then there's at least one more. It's somewhere deep in the ship. I can feel it. It's sort of right in the bow of my ship. And I... Oh, God, it's making me feel so queasy.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
I'm on it. All right.
Are you ready? Because this is... If I'm going to get rid of this thing, it's going to be quick. It's going to be like... You're going to be so prepped, okay?
Listen, mate. You don't need to... Yeah, yeah, okay. I've been there, done that. You literally cannot survive. Do I have, like, some kind of catching receptacle?
Yeah, absolutely, you can have a catching receptacle. Here's the thing. I'm going to need you to make me a dexterity saving throw, as essentially a bullet of embryum gets fired out of this knot in the tree. How did we do?
22.
Yeah,
baby.
Amazing. This thing crashes into you. You catch it. You go flying sort of down off of the tree itself. Mm-hmm. And you suffer just the 2 points of bludgeoning damage as you into the ground.
Oh, better out than in.
But you do have this writhing ball of embryum currently in your hand, and the tree, as a final thing, says...
So the thing is, that isn't actually the stuff that's making me sick. That's the stuff that's causing the reaction that's happening and bringing everyone's things to reality and making my dreams of being eaten by a Leviathan come to life. Oh, by the way, slight problem.
As you see,
no,
something truly ginormous sort of hovering just the other side of a cloud and seemingly circling its way back round towards the ship.
Shit.
No, but the thing is, there's something else. There's a sort of emptiness. There's a something that needs to go too, if you wouldn't mind taking a look when you return and you've got rid of this blasted metal.
You got it, mate. You got it.
Thank you. I'm going to try and not die when this thing comes back. Please hurry. I might need a hand with that as well. Also, I really can't keep this door open much longer.
You got it, boss.
And you see the door is like... to Hubert's office is like...
Fuck.
Can you make me one last roll a dexterity saving throw, please? As you sprint, Indiana Jones style.
13.
As you run through this door, you fly through it, but you hear a thunk just as you get through. You feel fine as you go crash landing into like a canopy of trees and leaves and branches. As you look up, and you see the door slowly swing closed behind you. Just on the outside of the door, seemingly stuck in the ground, you see one of your horns just having broken off, clearly caught in the door as you went through. And you are just there with the one horn now.
Oh, my lunch was in that one.
And you all, well, the two of you plus Brian's legs, find yourself in a thick and dense jungle. Sound of skittering creatures and bellowing larger creatures can be heard all around you. And we'll find out what happens in the next episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast.
Oof.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, Brian.
What you gonna done that for?
So good. Cool. So good, cool. Jasper. Oh,
that was great fun. Thank you very, very much.
Incredible.
No, thank you. That was an absolute and complete blast. I had a wonderful time. But before we go ahead and get out of there, my little robot friend, Edward Spence, what have you got going on? What's going on in your life? Where can people find you? That's Edward Spence is my full professional and legal name, and you can find me on Tuesdays on the Wounded Warrior Twitch stream, where we raise money for veterans by telling magical stories. And later on this year we'll be completing the fourth part of our reimagining of the world of Lord of the Rings with our show The Fourth Age, which is starring the incredible Jasper William Cartwright. That bit I had to say because that's sometimes what you say. And then next year we'll be returning to the streets of Gotham as we do our Batman show. Something like that? Is that?
As we do our Batman show.
Sorry, I really ran out of steam.
But yeah, that's pretty much all accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, you can find me pretending to be other people on a regular basis, but all over the internet and the world at times.
Tis
the World Wide Web.
Tis the World Wide Web.
And best way to keep up is at JCVIM on social media.
Woo! Johnny Chiodini.
Yes. YouTube.com/JohnnyChiodini. Watch me. Patreon.com/JohnnyChiodini. Pay me. And if you play doom metal in a forest and place a book about poaching on the floor, I shall arrive presently.
Love it. Appear me.
Summon me.
And I...
I'm Jasper William Cartwright. You can find me everywhere at JW Cartwright. You can find me on the Three Black Halflings podcast. You can find me in the Burrow's End season of Dimension 20. And you can find me here on this that you are listening to now, the Rotating Heroes podcast, and plenty more things coming up that I'm not allowed to talk about yet. But
yeah, fuck you, but true.
I'm a pretty big deal.
No, and I'm kicking you out of Zoom. You're gone. You've lost your job. Sorry about that. Not anymore. I'll be doing mine from now on.
Wait, we're being paid?
Oh, right. Yeah. No. I don't think so. I think that's just...
Oh, okay. Phew.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Make sure you check out our merch store. And otherwise, that's it from me, Edward Spence, and these other wonderful people. And we will chat to you very soon. We'll be back next week with the Art Bark if you're over on the Patreon. So until then...
Bark.
Yippee-i-o!
Yippee-i-o!
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.